Our guest in the studio is Morgan County Commissioner John Becker. Our topic is the proposal for Morgan County to adopt home rule. You're also a candidate on a special election ballot that's coming up on the 10th. Let's start with telling Morgan County voters this coming Tuesday, March the 10th, is a special election. And there's two things on that ballot. Tell us what those are.
So the two things that are sitting on the special election ballot, the first thing is saying whether or not we should move forward with home rule. It does not automatically kick us into home rule if you vote yes. It just develops a commission to start developing a charter that then you vote on in November, that if that passes, then you become a home rule county. But what you're voting on now is, should we start the process? Yes or no? Essentially, should we start the process to develop a charter to become home rule? That's what you're voting on. Then you vote on the people that should be on that commission.
And that's on the same ballot that we have. If we don't have it now, we need to go over to the county clerk and recorder and make sure we get a ballot.
Correct. That should be in your hands by now. If you don't have it, definitely call the clerk and recorder and get it. But once you vote, you need to vote on the commissioners. Whether you vote yes or no, still vote on the commissioners. Because your voice wants to be heard.
I could vote no, but if the answer is yes, then we will form this commission. So we should vote on that even if we're opposed.
Correct.
Okay.
Because even though you vote no, you certainly want your voice to be heard on the commissioners. And I know that there's one race in District 2, and you want your voice to be heard there, but you should vote on all the others as well. If you feel like one doesn't deserve your vote, I understand that. But vote for the ones you want.
So we've got three districts, and then there's two at large. So there'll be 11 chosen. Four are running for three seats in District 2. The rest will be elected because there's no write-ins for this.
Right.
So they will be elected, assuming the commission is formed. And then what will be the job of this commission if it is formed?
So if this were to pass on the 10th, then within, I believe it's 30 days, you have to have your first initial meeting of this commission. That first initial meeting is to set schedules, pick a chair and a vice chair of that commission, and start setting public meetings. This will probably be, in fact, it will be, at least 4 or 5 hours every other week of sitting and going through these meetings, which are public meetings, to go through pieces of what should be in a charter. We'll look at the other two counties' charters, which are Pitkin and Weld. You'll look at those, decide, you know, are those models for us to look at, or should we blaze our own trail as well? Because there's only three things that logically have to be done in a charter. You have to decide, you know, a referendum, initiative, and recall are the three things that you have to decide inside of this. The rest, you can just say the county's doing a great job and we don't want to change a thing.
So those three things, the initiative, referendum, and those are ballot questions for the citizens.
Yep.
Recall is to remove an elected official from office. The Colorado Constitution says a home rule county has to have those in its charter.
Has to. Those are the three things we are required to do.
So those will be in there for sure if one of these is drafted. What else can go into a charter?
That's where you can look at every aspect of the county, from who's elected to salaries to how you handle things in land use to even how you handle day-to-day operations. Though it can get as detailed as you would like. Weld County has a commission that they started. So the commission that's elected does not get paid nor have benefits. I know that's one of the things going around. They do not get paid and they do not get benefits from the county. They are serving because they just want to serve. But in the Weld County charter, there is a commission that is elected, five citizens that dictate salaries in that for elected officials in the county.
Okay. So we're using the same word like commission or
yep.
council there, but it's a completely
separate
thing. Yeah.
Yep. You can look at what are the positions in the county? Should there be other positions in the county? Does that make sense? You can also look at the salary of the employees and the salary structure. If you look, you can look at your land use rules and how do those apply? How you do road maintenance can even apply inside of a charter.
So you're one of the candidates for this commission. I mean, do you have like an agenda of things you would like to see in a charter?
I don't. I mean, I think that we need to look at everything. And is there a better way to do things? I believe elected officials should stay elected. I don't believe we should mess with term limits. I know those are all things that are out there. There's one position, and I've said that it's this at several speeches, that I don't think the county surveyor should be an elected position. That's the only one that I would even look at. The rest of them still need to be elected. And the reason I say that is, first of all, it's by no means a political position. And the county surveyor now is Nicole, and she doesn't want to run either. Most county surveyors don't want to run, and it was hard to even find somebody to run. That should be an appointed position by either the county commissioners or whoever we decide in this charter. But that's the one thing I think we should look at. The rest, I believe the county runs pretty well. I don't think you have to mess with anything.
So if the voters on Tuesday say, yes, we want to go forward with this procedure for adopting home rule, and we have this commission that drafts the charter, does that become the charter?
Yes, they draft, but the whole
time. Well, that was a trick question, because we've got to vote on whatever the commission comes up with.
So that's what I was going to say. That is the charter, and the commissioners can't change it. That's the rumor, that after the commission looks at it, this elected commission drafts a charter, that it goes to the commissioners. And the commissioners have an ability to change it. They do not. The commissioners can't change a thing. The only reason it goes to the commissioners is to refer that to the ballot to get it moving.
Okay.
That's the only reason. Then that goes, and then in November.
So it goes to the ballot unchanged.
Unchanged.
And then we, the voters, the people, vote yes or no on that.
Just the unchanged
straight
ballot.
Straight up or straight down.
The unchanged charter.
Okay.
Can't be changed by anybody. Once it's submitted to the commissioners, then it goes straight. The commissioners refer it to the ballot. And that's it. The commissioners can't change it. And the whole time that charter is being developed, there has to be public meetings, and those meetings will get set up. But every single meeting they have is an open meeting.
Subject to the open meetings law, just like
correct.
Commissions.
Anybody can show up, and whoever's the chair can give them time to speak. I mean, public input is really what you want inside of these meetings. You want the public to be part of developing the charter as we go.
So these things you're telling us can be in the charter, that's the kind of input that the commission should look for, is what we might want to have in, or maybe specifically don't want to have in.
And what they want out, exactly. How stringent should it be to refer things to the ballot? That is going to be a long discussion. How does that happen? You know, do you have to, the number of signatures that have to be collected and how it gets to the ballot? Does it have to be each district? There's going to be long discussions on topics just like that. And on land use, you'll look at land use and say, you know, do we like our land use right now as it is? You know, is there anything we would like to change or make permanent inside of the charter? And remember, the charter can only be changed. It can't be changed by the commissioners. It can only be changed by the vote of the people if it is adopted in November.
So that was going to be one of my questions in the general topic of what happens after it's adopted. So what is the mechanism to change it? Let's say we do adopt it in November, just hypothetically. Then what is the mechanism to change it?
So the mechanism to change it is the people can refer something to the ballot to change it, or the commissioners can bring something to the ballot to change it. But it has to be a vote of the people. It cannot be changed without a vote of the people.
So the commissioners can't change it on their own, but they could make a proposal to say we would like the voters to say yes or no on some change
to the charter, correct.
Okay. Or total repeal, I suppose.
That can happen as well, as that's been asked, is, okay, say that we adopt it and then it is just going horribly wrong. There can be a ballot initiative that essentially says, we're done. We no longer like this. It's not working for Morgan County, and they just kill it. But again, it has to be a vote of the people.
So let's just give an example of how the vote of the people would work. And partly that would be what the commission decides, like how many signatures would be needed or that sort of thing.
Yep. And I'm assuming that it would be a simple majority wins. But how they collect signatures, if they're referring something to the ballot, do each of the signatures, do they have to collect so many signatures in each district? They can't just go to Walmart and collect all the signatures. They actually have to go to
all
each district.
All parts of the county or something.
And those will be the discussions that need to be had. And how do those signatures, you know, those signatures will have to be verified, but I always like going to each district. Then each district has a say in what's going on. It's, you know, if you go to Walmart, it's pretty simple to collect almost all of your signatures in a day, or Safeway even.
Right.
But you should have to go to each district to collect signatures.
We could have people from various districts there, but I get your point. So the Colorado Constitution 50 years ago made county home rule a possibility. And right now there's two counties that have that. It's Weld County and Pitkin County. So why is it so rare? I mean, why haven't other counties done this before? Why hasn't Morgan County done it before?
I think you're seeing why it's rare. Is first of all, it's not a simple process to bring forward, and it's not an inexpensive process. We've been very open that this is probably an $80,000 process for Morgan County to get done. And that money was found, like I said, in vacancy savings, so it didn't affect departments. The other portion to it is getting through the first hurdle, because the state sets deadlines to get to the first hurdle. Once the county commissioners approve it, you have, I believe it's 45 days to collect petitions and get them in. Then from petition to election, you get that done. And once you have election, you have 30 days to get the commission started. It is the unknowns that are sitting in there for counties that a lot of people struggle with, and I even struggle with. It's what does this exactly do? And the problem that we have is it's not been as tested as cities have, and it doesn't have parity to the cities. So when I say that is, there are two counties that have used it, and really have Weld County's only used home rule 18 times. And of those 18 times, they went to court once. The rest of it has been left alone. And that unknown is the piece that tends to, as I'm giving these speeches, scare people. They just don't understand why we would do this. And I say for the ability for us to run our own county, for us to have that one tool that's in the toolbox that says, okay, we agree with this somewhat, but not fully. And that's whatever the legislature brings down on, mainly, like I said, land use. There can be other issues, but those are few and far between. It's mainly land use issues that we're going to be fighting back on. And those are the parts where you say, if you're not directly included in the bill, where they say home rule is included, then to us, home rule is excluded, and we do not have to follow that legislative rule. And everybody goes, well, the simple answer to it is, if there's enough of us, the legislator will just write in home rule. Well, they may. They absolutely can do that. So just because they may do it means we shouldn't do this and give ourselves one more tool. Because right now, the legislative bills that are coming through, again, with land use, allow things to happen near dairies and feedlots and airports that we have always held away from there. Because inevitably, the cheaper land is always near a dairy. You are near a feedlot, these people buy there, and then all of a sudden they realize why that land was so cheap. And we have made it a distance of where you can locate near these facilities. So why should the state come in and tell us we're wrong? That's a matter of local concern and stuff we should push back on. And that's what the state's trying to do right now. They're saying Bill 1001 literally says a nonprofit can buy land anywhere they want and put in housing, and we can't stop them. That makes no sense.
But a home rule county could?
Home rule county can, because that bill does not directly say that home rule, this is applicable to home rule. And remember, I mean, they don't want to home rule cities. If they put that in, that is home rule cities as well. So it's not like they're just fighting home rule counties. They're fighting the home rule cities. And so everybody goes, well, you're going to be in court alone. No. All home rule starts rushing into court. And remember, just because we push back doesn't mean we have to end up in court. We could come to a compromise or say, okay, we understand, we won't push back on that anymore and we'll comply.
So is it likely if there was something like that came up, there would be multiple people on the same side, namely counties and municipalities, taking the same, like, would Morgan County be by itself fighting a question like that?
Most likely not, because here's why. Home rule counties and cities don't want to lose their statutory power, their power to rule themselves. Because even if they start picking at one, they literally start picking on all. And if you deteriorate that statute that allows us to have those powers, it is to everybody's benefit to be in there to guard the power that they have to do self-governance.
We're visiting with Morgan County Commissioner John Becker. So in this process, what have you found to be some of the biggest questions, maybe some of the biggest misconceptions, in your opinion, of the home rule question?
The largest by far is taxation. I probably field now 4 or 5 phone calls or texts a day, if not more, of going, we just don't want you to tax us more. Well, this, I cannot raise your taxes. Tabor is a matter of state concern. I cannot tax you. I cannot say, okay, we're raising these taxes. Can't do that. It's still a vote of the people. That has to go to the people. And they go, well, we don't want you to raise fees. Well, here's the funny part about that. The commissioners already have the ability to raise fees. We don't need to go to the ballot to do that. So whether you're home rule or not, the commissioners have the ability to raise fees. So home rule has nothing to do with fees and taxation. We cannot change that. So that's the biggest misconception. The other one is this gives county commissioners way too much power. Well, I will tell you, it actually limits our power. It actually limits our power to whatever charter comes through. We cannot deviate from the charter. Right now, we can do what we want within the statute of Colorado, but we decide pretty much everything without a charter and without a lot of input. There's not a lot of people that show up to these meetings, which is, you know, I think there should be more and more people that are coming to our meetings and giving their input, but it gives us less power. To me, it gives us the power to push back on the state, but we have to live within a charter. And I would think that would be something the citizens would want. They would want us to live within the parameters they give us, and they want to vote on any new parameters they give us. Now, what it does open up is it allows us to push back on the state on anything that we are not expressly put into. I don't think that's saying we have too much power. It's what we want to do now. And you look at the solar-ready homes that they're mandating. To me, that doesn't make sense when we're trying to do affordable housing, adding $15,000 to $20,000 to the cost at this point to put solar-ready roofs on these homes. I don't think we should have to do that. If we're trying to build affordable housing, let's build good quality insulated homes and worry about the initial cost so that we can get people into an entry home without worrying about this other stuff. Because as you see, even though it's been mandated now since July of last year, how many solar panels have you seen come on homes? Not many. It's just not real affordable still.
Right.
And it's probably better for your home to put them on the ground anyway if you can. Those are things that we should be able to decide.
So how about ongoing expenses? If the voters say, yes, we're going to proceed now, and then they adopt the charter in November, what ongoing expenses would there be to the county to be a home rule county?
So the only ongoing expense would be having a legal budget if you need it. And we already have a large legal budget that sits in Morgan County now. Every year, it's probably $200,000 to $250,000. We don't see that increasing very much. If we end up in court, we would have to weigh whether or not that could sit in our budget or not, and whether or not it's worth it to the citizens of Morgan County.
So there's not administrative things that are an ongoing expense with home rule.
Now, once the charter is developed, there are not yearly administrative costs that increase. We just follow the charter, just like we do our planning and zoning regulations. And there's no real perceived increase in cost, unless the charter would have told us to add something or subtract something in our daily operations.
So the charter could conceivably, what sorts of things could be put in the charter? I mean, one of the things that's come up is like a county manager, for example.
A county manager, and county manager or administrator, and I have also been pretty vocal on this as well. I believe that the county for a while has needed a county manager anyway. And I will tell you why. And if that's added in, yes, that is an added expense, but I will tell you that will also reduce legal expenses because county manager can do a lot of stuff that's going to legal now. But the other reason is it guards you against future lawsuits. Right now, the Morgan County commissioners are hearing things because we have to manage the day-to-day operations. You end up hearing things in planning and zoning or bids that are going out in Road and Bridge that you have to vote on later. You shouldn't be doing that. We're a quasi-judicial group. So that information should come to you really for the first time sitting in a meeting. Then you should have an open discussion on what that is. You shouldn't have knowledge. And everybody goes, well, it's only one commissioner that manages that department. Well, that commissioner really should recuse themselves because they had knowledge of what was coming through and may have offered an opinion. We're quasi-judicial. You should not know this stuff before it comes to you to be voted on. It's just how it is.
So does a county have to be home rule to have a county administrator or manager?
No, we can add it right now. And I have pushed for now 6 years to say we probably need that.
So you're probably in favor of that, but that's a separate question. Am I hearing that's a separate question from home rule?
It can be in the home rule charter, and it will be looked at in the home rule charter as we go. And I think we'll have a discussion on it if this commission goes forward. It's certainly one of those things. It'll be in there. And everybody goes, well, that'll just raise costs. I will tell you, it may raise costs, but it can save future lawsuit costs, and it will initially save on your legal costs anyway. Because like I said, there's a lot of unnecessary stuff that ends up in the hands of the attorney because there's nowhere else for it to go. If you had a administrator on hand, they could be taking care of daily operations and then bringing things forward inside of work sessions to the county commissioners. And that's logically how the structure should go. We're one of the few counties that does not have a county manager.
So what other, as a commission member, I mean, what other sorts of things are you going to advocate for in a county charter?
What I initially are going to advocate for is just putting in the three things that I told you about, the initiative, referendum, and recall. I believe the rest of the county really works pretty good. I do believe we should look at how we deal with the election of the county surveyor. To me, that makes a lot of sense. No use having that in adding to expense of our surveyor that doesn't make really any money. They just do most of that out of the kind of their heart. They do make some, but it's not much. I think we look at the county administrator portion. Our land use, we have really developed very nicely over the past 6 years, actually 10 years. I think it's ag-friendly and business-friendly and citizen-friendly. We just went through a comprehensive plan. I think we have everything in place. There's not much to change, and I think that the commission will find that.
So we're down to just the last few days until the vote is final. It'll be Tuesday, March the 10th. Ballots have to be into the courthouse I call it the courthouse.
Yeah,
it's administration building. Yep. The clerk and recorder's office by 7 o'clock that day. Don't mail them the last day.
Please,
take them in.
Yep.
But if people do have any last-minute questions, where can they get information?
They can call any one of the three commissioners. Don't go to the clerk's office. The clerk's office is expressly won't give you an opinion. They're handling the elections.
They'll help you vote and make sure you're registered to vote if you need to, but not on the substance of the
question. They won't answer questions to substance. You can speak with any one of the commissioners. At this point is probably some of the best information you can get. I know the Democrat Party and the Republican Party both have information as well for you, and I suggest using it all. Looking it up on the internet and doing some of your own research is always good. There's a lot of misinformation out there right now of what will happen with home rule that is not true. I mean, if the charter does put it in there, then okay, it becomes true, but no charter is going to do some of the stuff I've heard.
And in any case, we still, as the people, will vote on that charter so we could say yes or no at that point.
Correct. This process only starts the process of developing a charter, which allows the citizens for the next 200 and some odd days to be part of that process and then vote on it in November. And if you don't like it in November, they get one more bite at the apple to try and do it. If it doesn't pass again, it goes away.
And then it, I guess you have to wait at least a year before you try again or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, I believe it is a year.
Yeah. All right. Well, very interesting discussion this morning. We really appreciate your taking the time to visit with us.
I appreciate being asked. Thank you.
Morgan County Commissioner John Becker, our guest, talking about the home rule proposal for Morgan County. And again, the special election is Tuesday, March 10th.